Well, greetings, brethren. For those that like to have a title for this sermonette, I'm calling mine the handkerchief, Gateway to God's Kingdom. Did you know that a type of handkerchief were used in burials? So I want to start off with a little history, a little background with the Jewish burial. Because of the hot climate and their religious customs, the Jews of that day would bury the dead quickly. They did not practice any kind of cremation or the Egyptian custom of embalming after leaving Egypt, though they may have picked up such practices like embalming or the wrappings. A body would normally be washed and then wrapped in clean linen with strips of cloth, similar to the way the Egyptians wrapped their mummies. Now, families that were better off financially would put perfumes, ointments, and spices on the body. And in some cases, the spices and ointments would be thick enough to cause the other clothes in time to harden, somewhat like a cocoon. And I've heard that these ointments may weigh as much as 50 pounds more on the body. Myrrh is specifically mentioned, as we've heard, in the preparation of Christ's body. Usually a separate piece of cloth would be wrapped around the head of the deceased. So, what does a handkerchief have to do with burials? Well, to start off, it's like a symbol from Christ as a form of servitude. And I'll get into that in a little bit. Let's look at one example of burial of Lazarus. So if you'd like to, please turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 6. Now they knew Jesus, once Jesus heard of Lazarus' illness, he would journey to seek his sick friend. But Jesus didn't do what his friends expected. Christ deliberately waited extra time. By the time Jesus arrived, Lazarus had been dead for at least 4 days. So in John chapter 11, verse 6 and 7, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Well, many knew during those time periods that decomposition begins usually right around the 3rd day or the 4th day. So what Christ was doing was making a point. He was showing the people that Lazarus was sure, for one, he was dead. So when Christ arrived and rose Lazarus up, it made for a grander climax. Christ was demonstrating to the people of who he was, as foretold. Jump ahead and with me, please, in John chapter 11 to verse 44. In verse 44, we read, "And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Now, verse 44 describes the burial clothes used on Lazarus, which would be very similar, we'll see, that was used on Christ. What was happening to Lazarus was he was struggling because his body was still wrapped in the strips of linen cloths in which he was interred. That's why Christ mentioned that you need to loosen him. But for Christ's burial, what was the evidence he had risen? The most astounding discovery was not so much the empty tomb, nor the announcements from an angel. It was something else. Among the gospel writers, only John records what that was. So jump ahead, please, to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 5. Now, the burial clothes consisted of a shroud around the body and a head cloth. And probability of the phrase describing the face cloth, something like a handkerchief, could be understood to mean as a separated or as a separate part of the other grave clothes. So in John 20, in verse 5, "And he, stooping down and looking in," this is John, "saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in,
Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he, John, saw and believed. It was in verse 7, from the condition of that grave cloth, that the body of Jesus had not been stolen by thieves. No tomb robber, of course, wouldn't have taken the time to unwrap the body, all of the ornaments, and leave the burial cloth there, especially since they would be in danger of being discovered by what was out there, the Roman guards. And even if they could imagine that they had, they certainly wouldn't have bothered to take the time to roll up the face cloth and leave the other wrappings in place. The thing here that he saw was it was wrapped up in an orderly fashion. Essentially, the clothes were not just scattered around like it was being messed with. As if somebody was, you know, get out of bed. We all kind of get out of bed, put the sheets off to the side. The whole point of John's description here is that the grave clothes did not look as if they'd been just discarded off. It's like, remember when we read about Lazarus? They were lying in irregular folds as if the body of Jesus had simply evaporated out of them, passing right through them. Now, the word translated face cloth here in verse 7 is a Latin loan word called sudorium. It was basically a small towel used to wipe off perspiration, kind of like what we use a handkerchief today, but not necessarily how a table napkin would be used. Some scholars say that this folded handkerchief is similar to an old Jewish story. Now, the story hasn't been proven to be actually true or not, but it's just, you know, these stories people pass on from generation to generation. And the story goes something like this. The servant sets the dinner table while his master, the way his master wants it. The servant then would just wait off to the side while the master eats his dinner. Now, if the master was done eating, he would rise from the table, wipe his fingers, his mouth, clean his beard. Then he just wad up the napkin and toss on the table. That would let the servant know that it is okay for him to come and clear the table. So basically what the master was saying is, okay, I'm done. And he can leave the table. But if the master got up from the table and folded his napkin and laid it next to his plate, it was telling the servant, don't come in there and touch my food, basically. You know, I'm sure a lot of us do that in restaurants ourselves. You know, sometimes we pull up the napkin and lay it down. Or I've seen ladies do this, actually take the napkins and cover the food. I think it's kind of neat when they do that. It's just like, you know, keep some embarrassment stuff. But if you fold your napkin, you put it down next to your plate, it means he's not finished yet. He's going to return. It was a condition of this face cloth. That sight is what John saw. He saw that face cloth folded. That's what penetrated his mind. That's what made him believe, like you notice there in verse 8. It wasn't what Jesus often said that convinced John of Christ risen is what he saw. Okay, turn back with me, please, to John 14, for my last verse here. John chapter 14, verses 1. Now, for my final scripture here, this is some of Jesus' parting words to his disciples before his crucifixion. This was to help them, his disciples, understand the purpose of his resurrection and what can it mean for us here at the Feast of Tabernacles. So in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Christ's burial in relating to Christ's burial, isn't it interesting that those burial cloths were left in their own position, yet the handkerchief was purposely folded? Christ's burial, resurrection, and the way he folded that handkerchief is showing us he will return to set up his kingdom. It's kind of part of his promise, if you want to look at it that way. So let's keep the clothes of righteousness with living faith as ruling members in God's kingdom, for which this feast, the tabernacle, represents, so we can prepare for his return as servants. Brethren, have an eventful feast.